Amen. Well, Sir Geraint will be coming to speak to us in just a moment. I've got down that to read Psalm 71. You happy for me to read it? And then we'll reflect on one more song before Geraint comes up. So if you have a Bible, Psalm 71 is the passage that Geraint will be preaching from. So I'll just read that through. Psalm 71. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, rescue me and deliver me. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge, to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of those who are evil and cruel. For you have been my hope, sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From my birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. I have become a sign to many. You are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. Do not cast me away when I'm old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. For my enemies speak against me. Those who wait to kill me conspire together. They say, God has forsaken him. Pursue him and seize him, for no one will rescue him. Do not be far from me, my God. Come quickly, God, to help me. May my accusers perish in shame. May those who want to harm me be covered with scorn and disgrace. As for me, I shall always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, of your saving acts all day long, though I know not how to relate to them all. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteous deeds, yours alone. Since my youth, God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and grey, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. Your righteousness, God, reaches to the heavens. You who have done great things, who is like you, God? Though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth, you will again bring me up. You will increase my honor and comfort me once more. I will praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, my God. I will sing praise to you with the lyre, Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, I whom you have delivered. My tongue will tell of your righteous acts all day long. For those who wanted to harm me have been put to shame and confusion. Amen.
May I say thank you, Ben, for leading the service. And I add my welcome to you and to all who are watching and listening to this service. Can I say how good it is to be here this morning and to sing and to hear those lovely words of Charles Wesley there in that hymn. We are interrupting our series in Ecclesiastes to look at one or two psalms again. And this morning we're looking at Psalm 71. If you have your Bible open, you'll be able to follow what I'll be saying. And for those of you at home, it will help to follow the psalm itself. This psalm is a particularly interesting one. There are several verses in it which speak of getting older and old age. We read, for example, in verse 9, do not cast me away when I am old. Verse 18, even when I am old and grey, do not forsake me, my God. It's known as an old man's psalm. And when I saw in the plan that I was down to preach on this psalm, I thought someone has a sense of humour. But I'm not offended. Indeed, I'm delighted to be able to speak and to expound as best I can with God's help this psalm. I'm going to call it by a different title. We're going to say that it is a psalm of hope in a time of crisis. Hope in a time of crisis. And you'll see as we go along that there are several verses that emphasize the hope that the psalmist has. Verse 5, "For you have been my hope, sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth." And verse 14 says, "As for me, I shall always have hope." What a wonderful motto for the present day. As for me, I shall always have hope. What a thing for a Christian to be able to say. So it's a psalm of hope in a time of crisis. And it's a psalm that elderly Christians or Christians who feel that they're getting older should take particular notice of. And I add as well that you younger ones in our congregation this morning and listening should also listen, because one day you will be old. If you survive by God's grace, you will say, "Where have those years gone? Where has that period of time vanished to? And how is it that I'm now feeling my age?" Maurice Roberts, in his book Great God of Wonder, says, "In every church, there are older Christians who need to be cared for and ministered to." And that's something that we need to take on board here as well. The need to minister to older Christians, the need to encourage them as this psalm encourages us. A word about authorship. Some people say that it's written by a compiler, by possibly Jeremiah, but the consensus is that it is a psalm of David, King David. His name is appended to many of the psalms, not to this one, but it still has his style, his mark, his imprint, and in fact, it has a similar theme to other psalms, as we'll see in a moment. There's also a sense of freshness about it, not to the words of an editor or a compiler or somebody who comes along to some manuscripts and says, "Well, I can add this to this passage." There is a sense of conviction in this psalm. So let's look at it then. And we can divide it. I feel that it divides neatly into three parts, hopefully easily memorable. The present, the past, and the future. And I start with the present rather than the past, because that's where we all start. What's happening now? What do I pray now? What are my circumstances at this point? And so of the present, we will say this of the psalm. The present, it's a cry for help in a time of crisis. The present in a time of crisis. Verse 1 to 4. "In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Never let me be put to shame. In your righteousness, rescue and deliver me. Turn your ear to me and save me." There is a crisis going on here. There is, what Ben said in his prayer, an alarm. Something is happening. "Be my rock of refuge to which I can go, for you are my rock." Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. "Deliver me, my God." There is a crisis in the psalmist's life and experience. Why does the psalmist, why does King David, if it is him, why does he need a refuge? Well, this psalm tallies with his life story, in that there were many circumstances where he had enemies. When he was a younger man, he had to flee from King Jealous, King Saul. And later on, even after becoming king, he had to face down the rebellion of his own son, Absalom, who wormed his way into the hearts of people around David. And even after that, when you'd think, well, he's He's seen enough wars and troubles. There was a rebellion of a man called Sheba. So throughout his time, there were circumstances of this kind. We can't identify which time it is, but it's quite likely that it's one of those later rebellions or difficulties, because he's feeling his age and is asking for God's help. And he needs to have a refuge, a place of safety, a place he can go, or one that he can put his trust in and feel safe. And that is his cry in the present. His cry then is, rescue me, deliver me, save me. These are all words coming from verses 1 to 4. Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of those who are evil and cruel. So there's a cry for help. But there's also something else there, and that is an expression of trust. He's crying for help, but he's expressing his faith at the same time. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Be my rock of refuge to which I can go, for you are my rock and fortress. And doesn't this tally with the experience of the Christian? Shouldn't this be our experience? That when circumstances conspire against us, when things look black and bleak, we cry to God for help, but we also express our trust that he will deliver and save and help. Now, not all crises are the same. For David, it was enemies and rebellion and so forth. For us, it may be something else. It may be our health. It may be the current pandemic. It may be anxiety about the future. And we ask God to help us, to keep us safe, to look after us. He uses the word rock, and that's a constant theme in the Psalms. And a rock is something solid and dependable. It's a wonderful picture of strength and safety. A fortress, he says. You are my rock and my fortress. And most castles are built, proper castles, that is, built to repel invaders. They are built on rock and in high places. And you have this image that David has of a rock. In an earlier psalm, he says this, Psalm 61, verse 2, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And surely that must be a constant prayer. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Turn your ear to me, he says, and save me. Give the command to save me. Now, King David may have felt the need to be physically saved if this was written at a time of the rebellion of his son Absalom. Why is this relevant to me or to us today, to the ordinary and perhaps elderly believer? Well, there's no application if you've never felt fragile or afraid, anxious for the future, in trepidation about something or somebody, in a situation of alarm. If you've never felt that, if you've sailed through life, there's no application at all. You've never had opposition. You've never had intimidation from people at work or school or college. You've never been worried by quarrelsome members of your family or people who are hostile to you. Then there's no application. But if you felt any of those things, you'll know very well what the psalmist is saying. We do, don't we, feel frail and fragile. And as we get older, we feel more fragile, we feel more vulnerable. What if, and David says here, he says that, do not cast me away when I am old. Oh, what if I do something foolish in my old age? What if I fail at that point? What if I've been doing fairly well up to this point, but now I will be left by God to my own devices and my own strength? Do elderly Christians have enemies? Friends get fewer as we get older. They die, they go into care homes, but enemies can seem to multiply. We lose a partner, there's none to confide in. People are impatient with us. Say to us, why do I have to repeat myself? Stop fussing, and so on. And we feel the world coming in upon us. Here we have a weak man in a strong place. And let me say to you, that's how we often feel, isn't it? We are weak people, but we know where there is a strong place in God. The present, then, a cry for help. But what about the past? What about the past? Well, the past is a reason for his confidence. The past is the basis of his trust. Verse 5, for you have been my hope, sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. In 2010, it was reported that a lady by the name of Jean Bagot, who was an author, had spent 4 years stitching a wonderful tapestry of her life, well, the events that had occurred in her life. The Second World War, her meeting her husband, the Queen's coronation, England's lucky World Cup win in 1966. She had done this beautiful tapestry, and this is what she said, and I quote, nobody had been interested in my writing, so I did this out of spite, really, so that when people see it hanging in the British Museum in 500 years' time, nobody will understand what I was going on about. Well, I think that's a bit tongue-in-cheek. But her next words are very significant. Working on my tapestry has made me realize everyone has a fascinating story to tell. And that's true, isn't it? What's your tapestry? What is my tapestry? What pictures would I be putting in my tapestry? And would you be doing in yours? Well, here is King David's tapestry. He's describing how he trusted God since his youth. It's wonderful to be saved when you're a young child or a young person and have a lifetime to serve God. You have been my hope, sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. Verse 5 and verse 6, for my birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. And verse 7 then says this, I have become a sign to many. What does that mean? Well, to me it seems that he's saying, people know where I stand. People look at me and they say, he's a believer. King David trusts God. I have become a sign to many. You are my strong refuge. And then verse 9 says, do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. So he's looking back to the past as the basis for his trust. There were then accusers, they spoke against him, and there are plenty who will criticize the believer. The higher, the more eminent someone's position is, the more you'll be undermined. We've seen it. We see it in politics. We see it in every walk of life. There are people who will bring someone, who wants to bring some, want to bring someone down. And King David went through this trial in his life. Now, it's important then that we have clear in our minds the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. I should say the preservation of the saints. A minister friend of our family would call at our home when I was a child, and my parents would ask, "How are you keeping?" His reply was always, "I'm being kept. I'm being kept." The preservation of the saints. Let me quote some from the New Testament. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. The Apostle Paul says, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ," the day of his return. If the work was begun, God will finish it. David was able to look back on his youth and say, "God was with me there. I trusted in God. He's not going to forsake me now." And in Romans chapter 8, verse 30, we read those wonderful words, the golden chain: those he predestined, he called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. And that passage ends with the wonderful words: nothing is able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That was Paul's refuge. He was trusting in God. He knew that God would keep him and save him and preserve him and bring him to, and all believers, to glory. Or the words of the Lord Jesus himself in John chapter 6, verse 37. "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." An elderly Christian once asked me for reassurance. He said, "My mind is going. I can't remember verses. I'm afraid I'll deny God or blaspheme and be lost." It was heartbreaking and important to minister to a lovely, godly Christian man. But the older we get, the more confused we can be about things. Technology is beyond us, is second nature to the young. Our hearing isn't so good. We miss things. We get confused about things. "Do not forsake me when my strength is gone." But King David, in another psalm, expresses his trust. Surely, in that famous Psalm 23, "Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The enemies, you see, were speaking against him because they thought his power was waning. He's on the way out. He's going to fall. He's not the man he once was. We have a chance now to take the kingdom. And David turns to God in his crisis. But thirdly, we have the future. The present, a cry for help. The past is a basis of confidence. The future is full of hope. The longest, the largest section then starts at verse 14. "As for me, I shall always have hope. I will praise you more and more." And from there to the end, we have this declaration that David is going to be praising God. He says, "I will praise you more and more," verse 14. Verse 15, my mouth will tell of your righteous deeds. Verse 16, I will come and proclaim your mighty acts. Verse 18, when I am old and grey, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare. He's talking about witnessing and speaking and declaring and announcing his hope in and trust in God. My mouth will tell. Verse 15. Tell of what? Tell of righteous deeds, verse 15. Saving acts, verse 15. Mighty acts, verse 16. Righteous deeds, 17. Marvelous deeds, 18. Mighty acts, 19. Great things. The great things of God. That's what I'm going to be talking about, says David. I'm going to be declaring how wonderful God is. And he uses the words in the all day long. He's going to declare them all day long. Words echoed by Francis Crosby. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Saviour all the day long. Verse 15 speaks of, my mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, of your saving acts all day long, though I know not how to relate them all. I can't count them all. There's no way I can say everything there is to be said about God. But I'm going to declare his marvellous deeds. What marvellous deeds would David be able to speak of? Well, the history of Israel, his nation. He could speak of deliverance from Egypt. He could speak of that history. He could speak of what God had done in his own life. What will you proclaim in the future? Will you be able to say, like Fanny Crosby, I'm born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. He's done great things for me. When the Lord Jesus died on Calvary in my place, he's forgiven me my sin. Great things God has done. John 3:16, that famous verse, Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. King David could see into the future in the sense that he had a prophetic insight into the coming of the Son of God. We have a clearer picture. We have the New Testament. We have the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have all the circumstances of his death and resurrection. And we can speak of those great things God has done in Jesus Christ. Verse 18 then, when I am old and grey, do not forsake me till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. How lovely for the elderly believer to say, I want the next generation to hear about God, to hear about the gospel. I want my children, my grandchildren, I want future generations to hear. Spare me, O Lord, to speak of those things to them. So there is work for the elderly to do. And David says very beautifully, poetically, in verses 22 to the end, he speaks of the instruments he will use. 22, the harp, the lyre. 23, my lips will shout for joy. 24, my tongue will tell of your righteous acts. And again he repeated, all day long. Hymn writers have often shared their experience. They've longed to speak of the gospel. We've had a wonderful hymn by Charles Wesley just before the sermon. And Wesley said these words, "And are we yet alive and see each other's face? Glory and praise to Jesus give. What for? For his redeeming grace." That's what we praise God for. Undeserved gift of God, of forgiveness and new life. All day long. So, when we are in touch with people, I was going to say out and about, but we shouldn't be. But when we're in touch with people, we often hear moans and groans, and we're guilty ourselves. But isn't it great if we could also speak of these things, declare the power of God, the mighty acts of God, the great things he has done in the gospel. The Christian then faces a future filled with hope, restoration, resurrection, and an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you.